Oh, what was that, a little cough?
Sorry, yeah, just clearing my throat. Go on, getting ready.
I thought you were about to sing it on McDonald.
No, just go on. Is he clearing your throat again?
I just have, yeah. I'm good now. Clear.
Clear it.
Cleared.
I mean, those guys, I still, do you ever think of things back in your past which can make you actually throw up?
Are you talking about the guy you had sex with in the BHC?
I did not.
That's the prisoner at the vending machine. The bit you left out of the diary entry was what happened after that.
I did. Actually, what happened after that was...
The next morning you woke up, he was banging on your bedroom door. No. And then you had to let him out.
No, Jamie was banging on from the inside too.
No, the funniest thing about that was Nick, we're going to shout out from Staffing Pig. We all went back to this hotel that we all had three different rooms in, a lovely travel lodge in Manchester. Went and checked into rooms. I checked in, Ed checked
in. That's the last place I'd go, by the way, if I just got out of prison myself.
To the vending machine in the travel lodge.
Yeah.
But I checked in, Ed checked in, Nick went to check in, and they said, sorry, so your room's been cancelled. It was like 2 a.m. in the morning.
Oh my God.
He was like, what do you mean it's been cancelled? He's like, yeah, someone's cancelled it.
What was it? Did he sleep with you?
No, he slept with Ed. Ed went, come on, mate, come to bed. Just come do it.
Took him under my wing.
Oh, right.
There you go. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of Private Parts. We are still with Ed Williams. Hey, Ed.
Hello.
What's up, man? Hey, we want to give a big shout out to our sponsors, iZettle. Thank you so much for sponsoring this episode. We really do love iZettle. If you are a startup, if you are a business, go and check it out because it really does help. We used it a lot, didn't we, Ed?
We did, yeah. Best way to take payments.
I will be using it with my mobile Yoshi bar.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, let's do the dinner party thing. If you could, have a couple of people around you, or you can have a business, right? You've got your business and you could pick any board that you want. People on your board, you're allowed two people in history to sit on the board of your business. Who are you going to pick? Ed Williams, who are you going to go for? I know your first one.
Johnny Iovine.
There we go.
Yeah. So Beats, if you haven't seen documentary.
Johnny.
Amazing.
Jimmy Iovine.
Jimmy.
Johnny Bravo.
I've merged two people. Johnny Ive, designer of the iPod.
Jimmy Iovine. And he did there's a documentary called...
The Defiant Ones on Netflix,
yes,
which is just
very good,
amazing.
Very good.
Amazing.
Very inspirational. Yeah.
Super, super cool. Yeah, love him. And... other than that, who would I go for?
What is the book you just told me to read about the Nike thing? What is that?
Phil Knight. That was actually what I was thinking. Yeah, Shoe Dog. So Phil Knight, story of Nike and how he built it. And I think what's amazing about that, when we talked back earlier about patience, is that the whole way through until Nike, basically until they IPO'd and went huge, he was struggling to pay for every single bill the whole way through. And just, you know, a huge company like that that changed the game in really pretty short history. It's kind of very recent history.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people throw in the towel before they get to that point where they're, you know, sustainable. But you know, that's a perfect example. If he'd thrown in the towel with Nike,
I mean,
it would have been, you know, it's like, you know, stopping 2 feet from gold. You know, do you want to keep going and see it through?
Nike is an interesting one because you're sorry, he just persistently and pushed on through and all those kind of things. But also, I heard that something like, with Nike, wasn't the logo is like the most... What were you saying about the logo the other day? Something about how insane it is.
Well, there's just a few stories about the logo. He paid an art or design student to create for him when he first started the company, and looked like a local college or university, and she created it for something like $30.
Yeah. Mm.
And then after... But also had a piece of stock, so they issued her some equity in Nike. Mm. And then she went on to become, you know... ridiculously wealthy from this tiny little share that
she had.
There's another
reason why
$30 logo.
You should try, if ever, never to give away equity, sweat equity.
Yeah, but this is
if you can pay for it in the early days of your business, pay for it because you'll regret giving away sweat equity.
This is true, and this is what I want to get into as well. But who would you have on your table, Francis? Who would be there?
Who would I have on my board? Well,
yeah,
I don't know.
Who'd be on your board, buddy?
I mean, it would depend on the business, but I mean, if we're just talking about some intangible business and I want a great innovative team on the board, maybe James Dyson.
Oh, we love
very
the,
cool
yeah,
guy
we
very
love
James,
cool.
James Dyson, and I guess Jeff Bezos, maybe. I mean, he'd be quite a handy.
He's done okay, hasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, but apparently he's a real, like, hectic guy.
I mean, he's clearly
much
a
insane.
Very competent guy, you know.
But that's again, going back to that thing of, like, destination, right? They had Amazon's had it down to a T. They always knew exactly their destination. They were always going, right, 100%, without a doubt, That's so much better. Yeah, that's worked. Yeah.
I mean, his end game. He wanted to create a website which sold everything. That was his goal, right?
His goal was more like customer service, making sure that the customer had the best kind of process,
ultimate convenience, ultimate service.
He wanted to have the store for everything online, and actually, he makes a loss on Amazon. Like it's a loss making. I mean, the actual retail arm of Amazon is a loss leader. His real money comes from his cloud computing, and that's he's really, in that respect, he's basically subsidizing Amazon to become the shop for everything.
Here we go. So now we got to get into the part. Which
and
is,
what about?
I would have around my table. Board? I would have around my board. I would have
Edmund. Shackleton.
Yeah, you love that I go to that one every time.
You met Jamie before.
I just love Shackleton. I think he's a fucking
Shackleton. Dr. Dre.
I would have
that would be an interesting
that great had. Conversation.
Who would I have around my table? I would have maybe Hugh Hefner,
Kate Middleton.
I'd have Hugh Hefner and Meghan Markle. That's who I have. No, I'd have Hugh Hefner. I think just insane, like what he actually built, and it's just the way he kind of.
Creepy.
It's not creepy. All that.
Hashtag me too.
No, I just think he is. I think he's insane. And who else do I really think is insane? Someone like, maybe one of the sports brands, maybe like Adidas or something. You know, the interesting thing about Puma and Adidas, you know, so Adidas was set up by, well, there's a shoe brand in Germany which was set up by two brothers. And the two brothers fell out with each other to the point they hated each other. Mm. And they went and set up two different brands. One was Adidas, the other was Puma.
The Adidas was what they started originally, and then one left and started Puma.
Yeah, because Adidas actually, the owner of Adidas is called Adolf, and that's why it's Adidas.
Adidasler.
Yeah. Is that what it was? Adidasler. Yeah. Okay, but this is the most important part. Okay, and this is what everyone forgets, is that the troubles and the woes and the problems that go on at the very beginning. We can talk about success and happiness and glory, and yes, we're here and we've got a product out there. But what is the biggest thing? And you touched on equity and things like and giving away, and I think, Ed, we could probably relate to that, giving away
100%, yeah.
equity when we probably shouldn't have given away equity. What do you think about that?
Yeah, definitely. I think in the early days, it's so cheap.
And yeah, exactly. You don't realize the value of it at all.
And now you go, shit, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
That's cost us a lot. And we can never really get it back. I mean, yeah, you can get it back if you buy it, but you know, we still don't have lots of cash.
Just give it back. Go on. Just give it back to me.
I think that's, you know, really one of the reasons why I knew that I could do everything myself with Yoshi, and I made that decision to do it myself because I really believe in the product and I believe that it's going to be a global cider brand. I want to own as much of it as possible before I raise money to, maximize my valuation and minimize my
dilution. But there's that belief, nice. Right? And this is the tricky thing, that a lot of people lose that sort of aspect and belief. Was there ever a point, and be completely honest, that you were like, oh, this is tricky. This is, I don't know if we can make this work. Was there a point where you got to that bit?
I think probably in the very early days when we were trying to make the sweets, not having sweets as a sweets company is quite fundamental.
Yeah.
Was tricky. But as soon as we had them and we were rolling, and I think since then we've just kept going, and that success point just gets further and further away as you grow. You know, it was going to be, can't wait to get our first supermarket, and then you get that and it's the next thing. But that always happens, right?
You're never quite satisfied. Now you're like, okay, fine, we got another one. Now we want to break America.
And 100%.
And that's the sort of frustrating thing that happens. But I remember there was a time that we came out of a meeting. This is about persistency and just keep going forward. We came out of a meeting with my stepfather. And my stepfather is a mentor for Ed and I in terms of our business. And he gave us a bit of a shooing, gave a bit of a kick up the ass. And because we didn't, our cash flow was this and all this was wrong. And we walked out and I turned to him and said, Ed, make sure you just don't leave, because that would be pretty bad. Because we had thrown some money into it by that point. And you went, don't worry, mate, if I have to sell sweets out of my bedroom, I'll do it. It was that sort of continued, that sort of drive forward, that passion, that persistency to keep going, that you never kind of left
you. No matter what, yeah, just keep doing it, yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly, because if you look at that, the story with Nike, you can really, if you give up, you really are giving up the potential for so much more. But obviously then that goes back to, also being self-aware enough to know when to throw in the towel, you know. But I'm not saying you guys need to.
You're telling us that we need to throw in the towel.
This whole thing's been staged just so you can get the message across.
But also, you know, that's, and also the other thing is that you've got to be interested in the area. So that's about admiring other people. Like, you know, if you're a sportsman, you admire other sportsmen. And I think if you're an entrepreneur and have a startup and you're in business, you kind of admire other businesses. And what, Ed, what businesses do you kind of admire at the moment? What different things are you looking at and loving?
I love Glossier.
Give you a little fact about it.
It's a good fact. So they are at the moment generating more revenue per square foot than an Apple store.
Really?
In their stores. I don't know if it's revenue or profit. I think it's revenue, which is pretty mad considering they're selling like a $10 lip gloss or whatever they sell.
Well, revenue is vanity.
Apple selling iPads.
But also their store is weird. Yeah. You know, Ed told me to go to their store in New York when I was there. I went to their store. It's not like what you expect.
It's totally different.
But that's the power of social media, right? They blew up on social media and became like a love brand via social media. And they sell, I mean, so much stuff. It's just, I mean, what is the niche there? Is the world, it's packaged? What is it?
I think it's just that millennial pink thing. Everything's perfect for that new audience. It's Instagram heaven. The store, the products, everything. It's just amazing. You know, but just to challenge a brand, they're just challenging, or they're doing the opposite to what everybody else is doing. And, you know, EasyJet came along and did that in flying. Candy Kittens came along and did that in sweets. You know, lots and lots
Yoshi's
of brands.
Yoshi's done that in cider. There we go.
But it's the opposite way.
Hang on, stop what you're doing because we've got a word from our sponsors. Hey, that wasn't that bad, was it? Now let's get on with the podcast.
We're millennials, though. You know that? We're millennials still.
Yeah, are we?
Yeah.
Well, won't we always be millennials?
I don't know. Do we change as we get older? Do we always be millennials?
Yeah. I think once you're... Yeah, if you're born...
If you're within that
around
cohort.
But I think we're not... We're technically... not millennials, we're something other.
So no, we are. Another, we're millennials.
Another, no, there's a more specific name for people who are born in like
the 80s.
Late 80s. Yeah.
No, I think they're like, the one 87 or 86 are called like Zedtopias or something like that.
What?
Yeah,
Zedtopias.
Yeah, I think that's it. I can't be bothered to Google, but it's something along those lines.
There's sort of generation
X,
Y. X, Y.
Zed.
Now, what next? Fucking hell.
Yeah, what's going to happen?
Is the world going to end?
But what other brands are there, Ed? So you like Glossier. Which other ones are you looking at the moment? Because you always, Ed is obsessed. You go into a supermarket with him and he'll go like, oh, I love that jar. Let me take a photo.
I think there's just loads of amazing stuff coming out of the US at the moment. Mm. Just because there's loads and loads of money flying around in the US for people who want to raise cash and start something. And they don't go into anything by halves. They go bloody big from day one. There's another amazing brand called Everlane that do clothing, and it's all about sustainable, transparent, not transparent clothing, that's pointless.
Yeah. Sick.
But where yeah, transparent from? Business. So they sell a t-shirt and they'll show you the factory that it was made in, how much they paid the factory, what the working conditions are like for the people working in the factory.
Yeah. And what about that shoe brand you love as well? Early
that?
Birds or something.
All birds.
I know all birds. Yeah, they're cool. They look so comfy.
Yeah, they are. And they're all from like sustainable. Yeah.
Super sustainable. Yeah. All not natural birds.
I was actually going to buy some the other day. Yeah. I might do that.
But also, this is the thing, right, that everyone forgets about brands. Now, like all these brands you've just mentioned, Ed, are all different. They're all doing something different. So the Glossier brand of focusing on millennials and making it pink and Instagram worthy and all that kind of stuff. And all these things are doing something different. And what they did, which I think, you know, perhaps Yoshi has done as well, and Candy Kittens we did, and we probably did it by mistake, but it kind of fell into something again, is the fact that we didn't, and we speak about this always, but I can say again, we didn't follow logic. Now, if you want to follow logic, it's a good thing if you, as we say, is driving a car, flying a plane, parking a boat, doing accountancy. You want to do it by...
How many times do you park your boat?
I'm parking my boat all the time. But you want
really illogically.
Yeah, you want to follow logic, right? Because logic gets you back in the same place as everybody else. But when you're setting up a brand and setting up something now, whether it's a shoe brand, whether it's a sweet brand, a cider brand, a makeup brand, you don't want to follow logic because logic gets you back in the same place as everybody else. You want to do something completely different. And I think that's what's so important. Everyone starts like a sweet company and go, well, Candy Kinders have done it that way, so we're going to copy them and do it that way as well. But that's already been done. So why would you follow in the footprints of someone else when they're your competitors? You have to change the game and make it adaptable.
Well, I mean, I guess coming to that conclusion is a logical conclusion, right?
Ooh,
Hurley, what's up, mindfuck? It's true, I suppose it's true. Yeah, mind blown right there. But okay, here we go. And also, what is, and this is again the cheesy thing, but I think we've got to do it because this is a very much of a
cheesy thing.
This is very much of a business-based episode. What is the biggest advice, Ed, that you can give to people out there or to our listeners, to everyone who is starting a business? What advice do you give to them? One piece of advice.
It's a good piece of advice, pretty boring, but work hard. And I don't think it's for just starting your own business, but for anything you do in life.
Yeah.
People really, really underestimate the power of just working hard. And I think that the people that succeed are the ones that are willing to work harder than the next person. And it's pretty much that.
So you think hard work pays off?
100%. But you don't want to be the kind of busy fool that just kind of works crazy, crazy busy and never
I'm so
ever
busy.
Sleeps and actually is just doing the wrong things. But
work hard and work smart.
And hard, yeah.
Okay, Francis, what's yours?
I do also think it just goes back to what we were saying about patience. I think patience is key. With patience, you can move mountains, and you should focus on those incremental gains you can make every day, which at the end of a year or a five-year period, obviously always have a strategy as well, but those incremental gains are what add up to real success.
Yeah, I agree. And I think for me, what it is I think that you, as a startup, right, you're like a Swiss Army knife. You have so many things in your armory that you forget. And I think the biggest advantage that you have as a startup is the fact that you have the, weirdly enough, you have the ability to fail. Mm. And start again, which as a bigger company, you don't. You can't fail. And that's what's so important, that you are able to take those huge risks and be able to take risks
and make mistakes.
God,
have fun, yeah.
The most adventurous football teams. You know, look at if you watch the All Blacks play rugby, right? The reason why they're so good is because they take huge risks. They offload the ball the entire time. They play so fast. It doesn't matter if it's pouring rain. They'll play it in the back line, all that kind of stuff. And that's like business. If you play like the All Blacks, you'll probably win like the All Blacks. Really think that. And the other thing I also really think is the fact that everyone always goes, God, the big ones, they're doing so well. You forget that you are a competitor now to them. And I think what happened with Candy Kittens, you know, we were told that we're the best thing to English confectionery for 150 years, which is so true, because for 150 years, no one has really changed the confectionery world. You've had Maynards, which are wine gums, which I think is British, and then the next one was Candy Kittens, because no one's ever challenged it. And the thing is, now they can't adapt. We've changed our whole range to vegan and gluten-free and things like that, and now all the big players are taking notice of us, and we've become the shark. So as a startup, you are the shark going into the sea of fishes. Fish is just floating around. You're the shark trying to eat them all up.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you have to remember.
Yeah,
very true.
Motherfuckers. There you go. Hey, Francis, we need to have your diary as well, buddy. Give us a little snippet of your diary. I want to hear about your week. I want to hear about what you're up to. I want to know about all these things.
All right.
So just have a little, like, brief moment to just enjoy it, okay? Ed, sit back and relax, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
This is how it happens. It's good.
I don't know what's going on.
You don't know what, just in life, you don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. Here we go.
Monday.
It's at the end of your diary.
I like taking the tube because I get to see so many interesting people.
Hang on, you just started that. So you went, I like taking the tube because I like to speak to different people.
Do you want to read my diary? Or?
No, you read it.
Because I get to see so many people who I probably never come into contact with under ordinary circumstances.
What time you taking the tube?
Other than this dribbling man who was wearing a miniskirt and a rainbow crop top this morning, I would have probably bumped into him at one of Jamie's impromptu dinner parties.
He was dribbling wearing a miniskirt.
Yeah.
What, did you stand next to him?
No, he sat down at the other end of the carriage. Mm.
Did everyone just separate away from him?
No one was sitting next to him. Tuesday. Buddy is farting a lot today. Or so Katie thinks. Wednesday. Actually, it goes on about what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Everyone is talking about crepes.
Well, as in,
it's a good thing trainers are so popular these days, because otherwise thousands of Indonesian children would be out of a job.
Is that legit?
Insightful.
Standing up for workers' rights.
is that your diary's like a lot of his like statements? I feel like it's just
one sentence up.
Random thoughts,
random things. I like that.
They're not all serious, but you know.
Hey, Francis, we have the answer to the question of the week, by the way.
All right. So the answer to the first question was what was the first question?
biggest country in Europe.
So the biggest country in Europe is, in fact, France.
Yes!
Let myself down.
Woo!
And the only country you can get married to a dead person in the world is France as well.
Is it?
Yeah.
What?
And the last time it happened was in 2017. One of the police officers who was shot by the jihadist, I think at the Charlie Hebdo thing, massacre, was his wife married him after he died.
Oh.
Because then obviously there's, you know.
What happens then? Is she now a widower?
Well, she's now a widower of a policeman killed in action.
It's quite morbid though. You'd be like, how was your... If you ever have like a dinner party and no one knows, you sit down and someone says, yeah. Oh my God, you married...
Where's
your
Jamie? He's in France looking for... trying to get married.
Hey, Ed, listen, what did you think about the podcast, man?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Hey,
big
I know
fan.
I know that you're a big fan of it. You like doing it. We're so happy to have you on.
Thank you very much.
It was a little bit of a more serious one, but I quite like that when we talk about business and things like that. It's super insane. You know, we've been working together for 7-8 years. Let's make it another 50. Good luck to that, Ed.
Good luck.
Yeah. Good luck. So where can you get Candy Kittens now? Which stores?
We can get them all over. Waitrose, Tesco, Sainsbury's, Superdrug, Boots. We're launching in Asda in January. Morrison's.
Nice.
And you can go to yoshicider.com to get your new cider.
Exclusively available, direct to customer.
And it's freaking delicious, man. And we've got a big thank you to iZettle once again for being our sponsors of the episode. iZettle, you guys freaking rock. Now, we pick our sponsors pretty carefully, and I can honestly say that if you are a startup or you're looking to use for payment methods, things like that, turn to iZettle. They helped us massively.
100%. Really good.
In our business.
I'm definitely going to be using them at my mobile Yoshi bar next summer.
Yeah, they really do rock. Go and check them out. And Ed, like what we like to do at the end of every episode is leave our audience with something inspirational.
He's already done that.
I'm all out of inspiration now.
Go on, just do
good. I'd say dream big and always... No, one second. I'll read.
And always masturbate.
Always masturbate.
No, do it in Welsh as well.
I shouted Cymraeg. No. I would say that you should dream big and always punch above your weight. So try your best to be somebody bigger and dream for the biggest possible thing. We didn't start Candy Kittens to sell a bag of sweets in our local corner shop. We went out there to knock Haribo off their perch at Tesco. Don't be afraid to have big dreams and ambitions.
Ooh, love that. Hey guys, love you. See you next week. Bye guys.